Our first meat reading is from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with a calf a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Our second reading is from James chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motive, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has called to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you? Who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's a sin for them.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him, Ezra. Just like that. And placed the child among them, or as it says in another one of the gospel accounts, took the child in his arms. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. If anyone causes one of these little ones to stumble, those who believe in me, do you believe in Jesus? All right. It would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you, that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. You got angels watching over you, buddy.
You do.
What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should perish.
Thanks, buddy.
You may be seated. Any children are invited to go with Jill and Maya for children's church? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you once again for the opportunity to gather in your name to worship you, to praise you, and to learn from you. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts and speak to our spirits that we may be filled. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was working on this sermon, I had lots of notes that I got from the Bible study, from reading with my wife, and from just spending time in the Word and just thinking about it all week. But I had a writer's block. I didn't have the introduction. How am I going to get into this subject of pride and humility? I need a way in. So I'm asking my son yesterday, Hunter, do you have any ideas? What does pride mean to you? What about humility? And first he didn't say anything. And he said, Tim McGraw. Okay. He said, humble and kind. It's a country song by Tim McGraw, or sung by Tim McGraw at least. And it reads in part, here's some of the lyrics, hold the door, say please, say thank you. Don't steal, don't cheat, and don't lie. I know you got mountains to climb, but always stay humble and kind. When the dreams you're dreaming come to you, when the work you put in is realized, let yourself feel the pride, but always stay humble and kind. Don't expect a free ride from no one. Don't hold a grudge or a chip, and here's why. Bitterness keeps you from flying. Always stay humble and kind. Don't take for granted the love this life gives you. When you get where you're going, don't forget. Turn back around and help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind. A good reminder to be humble and kind. And this song it's not bad. It's based on Micah 6:8, what we read there, or what Roz read. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require but that you do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God? Do what's right, be kind, and walk humbly with God. It's that simple. It's quite the opposite of another song by Mac Davis. Maybe you've heard, O Lord, it's harder to be humble when you're perfect in every way. But if everybody lived by Micah 6:8, if we'd simply do what's right, be kind, and be humble with God, walking with him humbly, you know what would that world look like if everybody did that? Three simple things. Do what's right, be kind, and walk humbly with God. There wouldn't be any crime. We wouldn't need a police force. We wouldn't need prisons. If everybody would simply do what's right and be kind and walk humbly with God, there'd be no need for borders. We wouldn't have militaries because everybody's being nice. What good could we do with all the money that we'd save if you didn't have to support militaries, you didn't have to support prisons? It's just that simple. If everybody would just simply be kind. What are we missing out on? Didn't we learn this in kindergarten? Or were some people not there that day? Or weren't paying attention? It's so simple. And that's what God tells us. Do what's right, be kind, and walk humbly with him. Don't be prideful. But once again, human nature gets in the way. We've got this human nature thing inside us. And sin is closely tied in with that as well. Our enemy takes advantage of our human nature, right? Our longing to serve self. Again, it's that self, that four-letter word. And from self comes pride, the opposite of humility. There's that phrase, selfish pride. It's more than just a phrase. It does originate in self. lifting up self involves putting others down. Again, quite the opposite of what Jesus did, the example that he set, always being there for others, not for himself, making time for others at every turn. That's what he did. That's how he lived his life. He was healing others. He was serving others, washing their feet, being there for them, being there with them, just setting that example that he expects of us. And from self radiate many things that we're warned about in James. From self comes judging. We had addressed that a few weeks ago, judging others. From self comes the lust for power, to build ourselves up at the expense of others. Again, it's all about self. From self come things like greed, again, wanting to build oneself up financially, many times at the expense of others. You look at some of these people that have built huge businesses or else are using labor from third world countries. It's at the expense of other people that they are becoming rich. Again, it's all about self. Bullying, putting others down to build up self. Again, that's anytime you get a chance to squelch that stuff, go for it. I know with school starting up here in a couple weeks, I'll have that chance again to promote being kind. We got those shirts that Margaret Peterson was behind that says, be kind, right? Again, we encourage the students to wear those to create that atmosphere of kindness where they're just being nice to each other and thinking of others. And it's not about self. From self also comes the gossip that James warned about. And from self comes pride. And unfortunately, our modern culture tends to glorify self. Kids are constantly exposed to advertisements and role models that are always building themselves up. These famous singers, maybe, or movie stars, or media personalities, or now they're on YouTube and Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and all these other things. It's always about self. Look at the car I drive. Look at the place that I live in. Trying to build that up. That's what they're confronted with. Quite the opposite. Again, our enemy dealing in this and supporting the self, where we should be thinking about others. And advertising sells it along with things that we don't need. Advertising many times selling self. Hey, you need this new car. You need this. You need that. Yeah. Well, you want it. Perhaps you don't need it, right? Again, the needs and wants. Big, big difference. It's all about looking good in front of others and building up self, huh? But what does the Bible say about pride? Yeah. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Shortened many times to pride goes before fall. Through pride, you're setting yourselves up for the fall that will ultimately happen. We are human. Now, there's also good pride. It's not all bad. We are taught to take pride in our work. Absolutely. Do a good job. Take pride in it. Your parents ever tell you that? Teach you that? Yeah, absolutely. To take pride in your hygiene, right? Brush your teeth, put on deodorant. To take pride in your lawn or your house and things like that. Make it look nice in the neighborhood, right? Or maybe your mom once said, you know, have you no pride, right? There is good pride. There is a good side to that. And, you know, everything within good measure. And the right kind of pride. Again, we're not going to take it to the extremes is the deal here. It has to be done in the right way. So don't let pride control you. Instead, control it. And one way to control pride is through humility. The other side of that coin, right? We've got pride on one side, we've got humility on the other. Pride itself, of course, is a two-sided coin. You've got the good side, pride, and the bad pride. But humility. The root of that word is humus, which is Latin for ground or earth. To be humble is to be close to the earth, and in a good way. This is not the same as another word with the same root, humiliation, which would be enforced humility. When you humiliate someone, you're putting them down. That happens when you see it like bullying and things like that, or even throughout history, when the Romans would conquer an army, they would parade the prisoners and the enemy king and stuff through the streets, and everybody's just humiliating them, shouting things, throwing things at them. And Jesus endured humiliation as well for us. And that ought to be humbling. He didn't deserve it. We did. But he took it on himself for us. James, this wise leader in the early Jewish church in Jerusalem, also wrote about pride in what we read today in James 4. humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. This is not the kind of lifting up where he's going to say, hey, look at this person, right? No, he's going to lift you up, pull you up. And Jesus is probably going to wrap his arms around you. So humbling yourself before God. Admitting that, hey, he's the boss, we're not. That shouldn't be that hard to do when you think about it. How powerful he is, how wise are his ways, how good he is compared to us. Rick Warren, pastor out in California, I believe it is, Saddleback Church, had a quote on humility that I rather like. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Instead, it's thinking of yourself less. Not thinking less of yourself, that you are just scum or dirt or anything like that, not groveling, but just thinking less of yourself and more about others. And you take that last part, thinking of yourself less, you could put those last two syllables together, selfless. Pride is selfless. Again, Jesus' example. I still come back to that. I'm amazed that he who deserved all glory didn't live that way. He was always serving others. He was selfless. That was the model that he set for us. And Micah 6:8 talks about the humility as well, right? Walk humbly with your God. We're not talking about walking behind God, trailing him everywhere he goes. We don't want to get ahead of him. As humans, we try to do that. We try to make it our own way or get ahead of God. No, walk with him. Walk beside him. Experience life with him. Walking humbly with him, acknowledging that, hey, you're right, I'm not. Every once in a while, we might be right a little bit, but no, that God is always right and that we should seek him and to follow in his ways to walk with him. And we're honored to do that. We have a God that is willing to walk right alongside of us throughout life. Sort of like that footsteps thing, right? If you could see, looking back in the past, where you're walking with God and all of a sudden there's one set of footsteps, you probably read that. What happened there? I was carrying you, right? And then there's another version of that that came out too, where you see the two sets of footsteps side by side, and all of a sudden there's this big jumble of footsteps everywhere. And then they continue on side by side. What happened there, God? That's where we were dancing. Yeah. Those joyful moments where you're just experiencing God in the Spirit, and you're just dancing with him. You're just rejoicing in who he is and what he's given you. Those moments are to be treasured. Those are priceless when you just feel his presence in those ways. Celebrating maybe the birth of a child or something like that. Those of you that are parents, you've experienced that. You just go, wow. Just pure rejoicing. So walk humbly with your Lord. Acknowledge him in all your ways, right? Now, there's also unhealthy humility, like you say, where you have super low self-esteem. And that's the other side, humility, again, a two-sided coin. There's good humility and there's bad humility, right? And you don't want to live in that other one where you think you're not worthy. No, he says you are worthy. He says you are his. He says you are loved, you are adopted, you are a treasured possession. Keep that in mind when the enemy comes against you. Just tell that enemy who you are. I am a child of God. And feel that love that God has for you as his child. Think of how much you love your kids. It's a lot, but that's nothing compared to the love God has for each and every one of you. Where he just sort of looks down and says, hey, that's my son, or that's my daughter. Yeah, seek him. Walk humbly with him. Please him. Jesus also encourages us to be like children. Whoever humbles himself like a child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, it said in the reading today. We had Ezra up here. He's at that age pretty much where he's pretty much innocent. Well, mom might not say that all the time, maybe. Okay. But children are innocent. They have faith and they're accepting. They have all these attributes. They're welcoming. They're open. They are trusting. They don't pay any attention to things like race, socioeconomic status, who has the wealth or the power. That doesn't bother them. Judging others, they're not doing that at that age. They have all these great things going on. And that's what God wants us to be like, is to be like children like that, where we're accepting of everyone, not judging others based on looks or anything like that or what they possess. No. He wants us to be like children. Unfortunately, a change takes place as we age, and we lose these attributes. The temptations of the world and human nature take over. Our enemy, again, using those things against us. It's within us, right? That human nature, and our enemy is always tweaking that and poking it and prodding it and trying to bring it to the surface so that we can't be like kids. Funny thing is, we were all kids at one time. We know this stuff. We've done it. We've been there. Can we get back to that? Can we just relearn how to be kids? To be loving, to be accepting, to be non-judgmental. To have that childlike faith, which is unadulterated, or maybe you could even say unadulted. To get back to believing like a kid. To being like a child before God. We are His children. We need to be like preschoolers again, but in the right way, without the tantrums and things like that, which we as humans tend to throw before God as well, right? The misbehaviors, the sin, and then the tantrums. I'm not getting my own way and things like that. But aside from that, just the good thing about the kids, again, about being welcoming, being accepting, and just being humble like a child. That's what Jesus said in the gospel. So believe, trust, be innocent, maybe even jump up and down and smile. And let us be like kids. Amen.